thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Well, I think probably one of my favorite classrooms is the classroom of life, you know, where you're just doing life and you're just doing normal things, and all of a sudden an object lesson or a life lesson comes in, and God just tries to rock your world with it and tries to get your attention. How many of you have ever had that happen? You're just going through life, you're just going through your normal day, and all of a sudden a life lesson just pops in, and if we're sensitive and if we're paying attention, it's amazing what God can do. Oftentimes they come unannounced and unexpected. And I think this Monday, I had one pop in to my life, unannounced and unexpected. And so it started Monday afternoon at a barbecue. We were at a picnic barbecue for Memorial Day, and it started then. And then, like I said, it kind of culminated this morning when I was actually working out after men's prayer this morning. And so I want to tell you a little bit about that and how and what God did in my life this week through that, and see if God will not maybe resonate some of this in your heart as we dive in again to the story of Abraham and faith forward. I found myself this week on Monday afternoon squaring off in the arena of life with a 15-month-old. And so here I am, I'm going toe-to-toe with this 15-month-old, and the fact of the matter was, I lost. How in the world do you lose to a 15-month-old that really can't even talk yet? I mean, mumbles a few words and says dada and says a few things, but so I square off in the arena of life with this 15-month-old, not realizing that God is going to teach me a life lesson, and he's going to show me something about faith forward and what it means to follow God. Do we have the picture of that 15-month-old I squared off with? There he is right there. Judah Michael is his name. That's Ariel and Zach's little boy. And we were at a barbecue. Let's leave that up there for a minute. Now, I want you to look at that little guy. He's 15 months old, and his mom and dad were playing a game on Monday, and there were kids all over the place, and his mom and dad were playing a game, and so I decided that I would help out, and I would watch Judah, and I would just play with Judah, and I had it all in my mind what we were going to do, and he was going to have none of it. He was going to have absolutely none of it. So I had this idea. I was a little bit tired, and I just thought, Judah, you just sit down right next to me here on the couch, and we're going to watch a show. And I'm trying to get him to nod, and I'm trying to help him to nod his head, and just want you to watch this show with me. And he looked at me like I was just the strangest fella on earth. But here's what I realized. About 5 seconds after I said that, he just hopped up off of the couch. He didn't ask me to follow him. He didn't say, come on, Uncle Blake, I'm going to show you something. Come on, I want you to do what I'm going to do. Here's what it really came down to. It came down to he had his own agenda. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He's 15 months old. I'm 52, and he had me running around like a puppet on a string. And here's what I realized. Here is what I realized. He's 15 months old, and he already wants to be in control. He's 15 months old. He can't talk yet, but he wants to be in control. And I want to submit to you tonight that we all battle with that. If I said to you tonight that I'm pretty confident that you had control issues, would you want me to prove it to you? I'm pretty sure you have control issues. I am pretty sure you want to be in control. I am so convinced of that I had a 15-month-old just walking me all over the yard, picking up sticks. And I went home Monday, and I was so tired. He never said one word to me, but he wanted to be in control the whole day, and he was in control the whole day. And if a 15-month can be in control the whole day, and they start learning from the time they're that little, it's just something that's in the DNA of humanity. It is in the DNA of a human to want to be in control. And we want to be in control, and it's very difficult to surrender. So Abraham, we found Abraham going from this certainty. God calls him in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham, I want you to go. Okay, God, I'll go. Sounds good to me, I'll go. And he starts out, but then God has this amazing way of just kind of peeling back the layers in our life to show us where we have control issues. He has an amazing way to do it. And I think part of the journey of faith forward is realizing that we all have control issues and God wants to reveal them to us. And he doesn't want to reveal them to us to hurt us or hinder us, but he wants to reveal them to us so we'll surrender to him. Because he's got it already figured out. And I realized Monday afternoon, as I was following him around, I thought, man, oh man, was I like that at 15 months old? And then I thought, am I like that at 52? Do I have control issues? And are certain parts of my life free to God to do whatever he wants to do? And other areas I really kind of have control issues. So I want us to go through this message tonight, and I want us to look at Abraham, and I want us to look at what we do with the control issues of life. Because faith forward requires that we surrender. And it requires that we not surrender one time, but it requires that we surrender often. And there's things in our lives that we need to be willing to surrender, and a lot of times it comes down to control. Someday I'll probably be able to tell Judah, you know, 15, I mean, he's walking around the backyard and he's wanting to pick up sticks and he's wanting to hit the ball and then and I was having a blast. But he had me led around the backyard and it was all about him. And it's one thing to do that when you're 15 months old, but when you're 52 years old, it's not all about me. It's about saying, God, I'm going to surrender to you. And so I want to start out with Proverbs chapter 4, because I left us with a statement last week in the message, at the end of the message, and I want to expound on it a bit. And then I want us to look at some necessities of faith moving forward in our lives and what that has to do with surrender. And I want to start with Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And here's what the writer of Proverbs said. My father taught me, take my words to heart. Follow my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. I mean, that's about as clear as it can get. Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Now notice this. Sometimes one word is so important in the context of Scripture. Don't forget my words. Now God would not say, don't forget my words if it's not possible to forget his words. So the writer here in Proverbs says, don't forget my words or turn away from them. And then he throws in another don't. Don't turn your back on wisdom. So two places right here in the very beginning, the writer is saying, get wisdom, get some wisdom. You need wisdom. You need wisdom for faith forward. You need wisdom in this life. You need wisdom to go forward in your walk with God. But in the midst of that, he says, don't forget. Why would he say, don't forget? Why would he say, don't turn your back? Because there's control issues that seem to just kind of creep up in our lives, and sometimes they can be so subtle, and if we don't catch them and we don't realize that they're control issues, we'll call them everything but what they really are. Well, it's not really a control issue. I just like to be organized. That's phooey. That is not true. It isn't about being organized. God had a plan for Abraham, and it required faith forward. And we see Abraham trying to grab a hold of things. We see great men and women of faith trying to grab back a hold of things because they wanted to be in control. So don't forget my words and don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing that you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head and she will present you with a beautiful crown. So let me give you point number one, and then we're going to dive into the necessities of faith forward. And I mentioned this last week, but it wasn't one of your fill-ins, so I wanted to make it one this week. To move from insecurity back to faith or back to surrender, we need wisdom, not answers. It's really important that we understand that, because oftentimes we ask God for answers and he doesn't give them. We can ask God over and over and over for answers, and he doesn't always give them. But God says, if you ask me for wisdom, I will give it to you. So God will give you wisdom, but not necessarily give you the answers. And we have to understand that in moving forward, because answers oftentimes are related to control. I want an answer because I want to be in control of my situation. I want to know what it's really going to look like, God. What's it going to roll out like? What's it going to be like? What's it going to be like in a week or a month? And so this morning I'm working out, and I'm just trying to focus on what the Lord wants to do in my life and what he wants to do tonight, and just felt like the Lord said, you have control issues to me. I thought, okay, God, if you're talking to me, I want to hear it. I'm thinking about Judah and the little control issues the 15-month-old had and wanting to be in charge. And then all of a sudden, you've got control issues, Blake. Ask for wisdom. Don't ask for answers, but ask for wisdom. And if you ask for wisdom, I'll give it to you every single time. I might answer you 1 out of 10. How many of you sometimes feel like you ask God something and you get an answer 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 15? You ask God 10 questions, you get 1 answer. If you ask for wisdom, he'll give it every single time. That's what his word says. So, let me say something about wisdom as we dive into this. With wisdom, and this is not on your outline, I just wrote it on mine. With wisdom, it is equally important to ask for it as it is to submit to it. With wisdom, it's important to ask for it, but it's equally as important to submit to it. See, we just read in the text, don't forget my words and don't turn your back on wisdom. Why would somebody turn their back on wisdom? If wisdom is the chief thing and it's the greatest thing given to man, and God says he'll give it freely, then why would the Bible tell us not to turn our back on wisdom? Because when it's not what we want, because we want to be in control, then we often turn our back. So when it comes to wisdom, it's equally important to ask for it, but it's equally as important to submit to it. So we've got to be willing to submit to the wisdom of God. And really what it comes down to is when we have control issues, we've got to learn to surrender. And see, when God was working in Abraham's life, he wasn't trying to lay it all out there to embarrass Abraham. He was trying to show him that, Abraham, I know what I'm doing in your life. And although you might not see all of the pieces, and you might not see how I've brilliantly woven it all together in the tapestry of my will, I have it figured out. So ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you, but then submit to it. And keep your hands open. So let's go through this, and I'm just got 4 points for you tonight. Help us hopefully understand the necessity of faith forward. Point number 2 is this, then write it down, and then I'm going to read the text to you. You must trust God consistently and convincingly. That's really what it comes down to. If we're going to move from certainty, and all of us can point back to a time in our lives where we were certain that God said something. I am certain that God said A, B, C, or D, whatever it was. And we're in that place of certainty. And then all of a sudden, because things are not panning out exactly like we thought, we begin to drift, like we talked about last week, into insecurity. And then if we're not careful, when we're in that place of insecurity, we can begin to try to control things. Well, I don't know exactly what's going on, and that's what Abraham did. Okay, Sarah, sounds like a good idea. Let's do that. You know, God's not moving fast enough, and I'm just getting older, and certainly you're not going to be able to have a baby. And so all of a sudden they begin to control, where what they really should have done is they should have surrendered. They just should have surrendered to what they already knew. And so surrender really comes back to this. It comes back to trusting God consistently and convincingly. And just a reminder to all of us in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household. We've read it so many times, it skips over sinking in anymore. But look at what God's saying to Abraham. Walk away from all of it, Abraham. Everything. Walk away from all of it. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So far, so good. Genesis chapter 12, so far, so good. But slowly, as we go through the next 10 years of Abraham's life, from 75 to 85, the lug nuts start getting a little loose. And all of a sudden, the wheels that were running true and smooth, all of a sudden, they're starting to wobble a little bit. And all of a sudden, that certainty is turning into insecurity. And is it possible that God may set up situations in your life? Is it probable that God may set up situations in my life to help me discover where I have control issues? Is it possible? Does God love me enough that I grabbed a hold of a certainty, something that God said, and I'm moving forward with it, and it's so easy? Seems like Genesis 12 was so easy for Abraham, but as the lug nuts started to get loose, pretty soon they started to fall off, and the wheel was really wobbling now. But it was part of the plan of God. See, it was part of the plan of God to allow Abraham to discover that he had some control issues. And the first thing that we have to look at when it comes down to control issues is this. Are you really trusting God? Are you really trusting God? Not just intellectually, but are you really trusting God with whatever it is? With today, tomorrow, the next day, yesterday, last year? Are you really trusting God? Because faith cannot go forward if we're not trusting God. And so how come it was so easy for me to see with a 15-month-old that was all about him? It was about how he wanted to do it. He did not want to sit and watch a show with me, so we went in the backyard and played. And then he wanted to play with the ball, and then he wanted to get on the little big wheel, and he wanted to do all of these things, and it was so easy for me to see he wanted to be in control. It's so easy sometimes for us to see when somebody else wants to be in control and when somebody else has control issues. But what about me? What about me? See, it's about what God's trying to show me. And so I've got to trust God convincingly. I've got to trust him with everything that's in me. Are we doing that? Do we really trust God? Or do we kind of make bargains with God and kind of make deals with God? God, you can have salvation. You can have creation. I'll give you that one. God, I'll give you control and salvation because I can't do anything about it anyway. I'll give you control and creation because I can't really create. I'll give you control in miracle requests because I can't really do miracles, God. So I'll give you control in these areas, but I'd like to keep money management. Can I keep that one, God? How about if I keep money management? I think I'll keep that one. I'd like to also request relationship options. Can I keep relationship options, God? I'd like to keep that one. I'd like to keep my options open with relationships, who I like and who I don't like, who I want to hang out with, who I want to not hang out with, who I don't want to work with, who I want to work with. I'd like to keep a hold of the career moves, God. I'll give you salvation, give you eternity, give you miracle options, but I think I'd like to take money management. I think I'd like to, and really, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm trying to get us to really think about the truth of where we live. When it comes down to having control issues, you see, because nobody taught Judah to want to be in control. He's 15 months old, and he can't even communicate yet verbally. And yet he wants to be in control. And so there's something about in the DNA of humanity to want to be in control, and there's something very supernatural about submitting that control back to God and being able to say, God, I trust you completely. I trust you completely. And Abraham started out that way, but then all of a sudden the wheels started getting wobbly. And if your wheels are starting to get wobbly, you got to tighten the lug nuts of trust back up. You got to get the lug nut wrench back out, and you got to start tightening the wheel back up and saying, okay, God, I've been wobbly a little bit, but I'm going to lock that thing back in, and I'm going to lock it back in by trusting you. You've never abandoned me. You've never failed me. You've always been there. Aren't those things all true? Say yes. They're all true. So we know God's there. We know that he doesn't leave us. We know that we can depend on him. So, work out the issue of trust. The next one is this, number three. You've got to constantly invest in your relationship with God. There has got to be deposit after deposit after deposit after deposit in your spiritual relational bank account with God, because you cannot make any kinds of withdrawals relationally with God if you're not making deposits. And so there's got to be this constant investment in our relationship with God. Notice what Abraham did as he was developing this investment of his relationship with God. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So Abraham's going through the land, and as he's going through, there's enemies in the land, and he's going to a foreign place. He's going places he's never been before. He's going into the unfamiliar. He's taking his faith forward, and he's trusting God. And in the midst of doing that, the Lord appeared to Abram, and he says again, to your offspring, I'm going to give this land. So notice what Abraham did. So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And now notice what it says. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. What Abram was doing when he was building these altars is he was making an investment in his relationship with the Lord. Because every single time he would pass by that altar, that would be a memorial or a memory or a reminder of the faithfulness of God. And what God wants us to do in this faith-forward journey is he wants us to make investments by building memorials of remembrance. Building memorials of remembrance of the faithfulness of God. Has God been faithful to you? Has God been faithful to you? Say yes like you mean it. If God has been faithful to you in the past, he will be faithful to you in the future. He will be faithful to me in the future. But if I have control issues and I can't trust him with what I can't see, then I'm going to turn my back on wisdom because I'm saying, God, give me the answer. I need to know, I need to know, I need to know. And God is saying, ask for wisdom. It's what you need. You need wisdom. It's the chief thing. If you ask, I'll give it to you. And then, Blake, by the way, don't turn your back on wisdom. If you ask me for it, don't turn your back on it. And so how you doing with constantly investing in your relationship with God? Are you doing a good job building memorials, reminders and memories of the faithfulness of God? That is the thing that will help you when the wheels start getting loose and you start tightening the lug nuts of trust up. And then all of a sudden you can look back and you say, you know what? God was faithful. I mentioned this last week. It just had hit me last week that it was 5 years ago to the day last Wednesday when I was teaching that I was in Mexico doing a wedding. I had flown to Mexico to do a wedding of a family friend, and I was unemployed. And I didn't have a job, and I'm thinking, why am I in Mexico? I need to be working. I need to be providing for my family. And I was torn. They paid for the trip. That's why I went. But I was torn. And then 100 days later, I was on staff at Faith Bible Chapel, something God had put in my heart 20 plus, almost 30 years prior to that. And I was so wanting the answers. I'm on the beach in Mexico saying, God, can you just give me an answer? Can you just tell me where I'm going to be working? Can you tell me what I'm going to be doing? And now I can look back on that, and just last week I can look back on what happened 5 years ago and say, God, you were so faithful. You've been so faithful. And we've got to be doing that. See, it's the best way to explode and blow up control issues in your life. It's just look back and see what God did. Not what you did, not what I did, but what God did on your behalf. And what God did for you because God has been faithful to you. Would you agree with me that God's been faithful? And so maybe one of the things that we need to be doing is we need to tighten the lug nuts of trust up, but we need to stop long enough, ask for wisdom, and build a memorial. Build a memorial. Remind yourself of what God did yesterday and last week and last month and how faithful God has been. Because the truth of the matter is, God wants control of everything, not just some things. He wants control of everything in our lives. And that is difficult to do, especially when we start having control issues from the time we're born. A baby cries, a baby screams because they want attention. I tried for 45 minutes. This was before my time with Judah on Monday. I tried for 45 minutes to put Hazel down for a nap, Rod and Kelly's baby. And I tried and I tried, and Kelly told me how to do it. She said, just go up and put her in the crib and she'll fall right asleep. She's tired. And so I go up there and I put her in the crib and she starts screaming. So I thought, okay, I got to take her out of the crib. And I know better. I've raised two boys, so I know the deal. I know sometimes you got to let them cry it out and all that. But the look on her face, the way she looked at me, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. So I picked her up off the crib, and I tried to rock her. Kelly had told me earlier, well, try to rock her. I tried to rock her. She's having none of it. She's She's not even a year old. She's born in August, and I'm up there. I put her down in the crib, and her body language and her eyes tell me, no, I don't like this. I'm going to be in control. Pick me up and take me out of here. So I sit down in the rocking chair. No, I don't like this. I don't want to be in the rocking chair. So I put her on the bed, and for 45 minutes, I'm doing this on the bed in the spare room. And I'm thinking I'm doing a good job, and her head bobs down, and she's kind of falling asleep. And then Melinda walks in and opens the door, messes the whole thing up. And she's awake again, and Melinda walks in and says, put her in the crib and let her cry and she'll fall asleep. And I walked out of the room and I'm thinking, okay, that didn't work so well. Then I played with Judah for 2 hours. It was 2 hours that I tried to entertain Judah. So for 2 hours and 45 minutes, I was controlled on Monday by a 10-month-old and a 15-month-old. So if it starts that little, by the time we're 50, 30, 20, 60, 70, we are masters of control. We are masters of control. Don't fool yourself into thinking you don't have control issues. Say, I have control issues. Say it like you mean it. Say to the person next to you, you have control issues. And yours are worse than mine. No, don't say that. Don't say that. I like my job. I want to keep my job. Do not say that. We all have control issues. So you got to constantly be investing in your relationship with the Lord. We've got to be doing that continually. If you got to build more memorials, if you have to build one today and then you have to build one tomorrow because you got a short memory, then build another one. Then build another one. It doesn't matter how many you have to build. Keep building them because you got to go from certainty to insecurity back to surrender. And then when you get back to surrender, you're exactly where you're supposed to be because then you lay the control issues down. Next one. Next fill-in. You must learn. Say learn. Some of us love that. Some of us don't. Some of us love learning certain things and some of us don't love learning certain things. You must learn the discipline of meditating on God's Word. That is a discipline. Learn the discipline of meditating on God's Word. You know, there's times that we just have to because of life and all of the garbage in and all of the things that come in and come in and come in. Sometimes we just got to hit the refresh button. We just got to hit the refresh button in life, hit the refresh button, and let the right screen come back up and start meditating on God's Word and reminding yourself about what God's Word has said and the promises in God's Word and hit the refresh button because if not, boy, you get all these pop-ups. And those pop-ups, pretty soon you got so many pop-ups you can't even take care of business. And there's too many pop-ups today. There's too many pop-ups and they're blocking the Word. They're blocking the Word, and we gotta hit the refresh button. And hitting the refresh button means if I meditate on one word that God says, if I can meditate on one scripture, if I can meditate on a part of one scripture and God has said something, then I'm meditating on His Word, and that's what we've got to do. Look what this scripture in Romans chapter 4 says about Abraham. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promises that God that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, then faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. Not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham. That's us. He is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they are. Now, notice this. Now, this is Abraham meditating on what God had said. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations. It was almost a half a century. It was almost 25 years before Isaac was born. From the time that God called Abraham until the time that Isaac was born was almost 25 years. Imagine the highs and lows and the roller coasters and all of the things that Abraham had to go through. But when he came back to the place of surrender, when he went from certainty to insecurity and he moved back to the place of surrender, how did he do it? He did it by meditating, by reminding himself of what God had what? Already said. That's what meditating on the Word is. It's reminding ourselves what God has already said. When we read the Word, we are reminding ourselves we're part of that Abrahamic covenant. The promises that God made to Abraham, He makes to us today. So when we read God's Word, we remind ourselves, we meditate on the things that God said to Abraham, which are the same things that are true to us today. So against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and he became the father of nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief. He had control issues, but he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. How will God credit righteousness? By remembering what God has already said. See, it's easy to have control issues when you're focusing not on God's word. You're going to have control issues when you're focusing on other things, when you're focusing on answers. When you're focusing on solutions, we cry out to wisdom, God, give us wisdom, and then we submit to the wisdom that God gives to us. He who was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification, it was him who made those promises to us. So we've got to constantly be investing and in meditating on God's word if we're going to make it. So what are we doing? We're trusting God. We're investing in our relationship with God. We're meditating on His Word. And then finally, number five is this. You've got to exercise your faith by doing what God tells you to do. If our faith is going to go forward, part of surrendering is exercising our faith. Exercising our faith how? Laying down the control issues. Stepping out. Lord, I'm not going to do it my way any longer. Whatever it is. I think the older we get, the more difficult this becomes. Because the more we can convince ourselves that what we're doing is okay, the easier it is to justify. And we've got to be careful about that. James chapter 2, verses 19 through 24 say this. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You think he had to relinquish control there? He waited 25 years for a promise, and then a few short years later, God says to Abraham, sacrifice your son. Talk about letting go of control. God, you made this promise. Certainly I have not heard you right. You made this promise to me about Isaac. And I held on to this promise, and now all of a sudden, you're telling me to lay him on the altar? It comes down to surrender, really comes down to an exercising of our faith. It's not this intellectual thing that we do. It's a stepping out and an exercising of our faith. So, Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. What do we do? One of the things that we have to do for our faith to go forward is we have to let go of control. Abraham had to let go. We're going to talk about Abraham and Isaac and that sacrifice in a few weeks. But one of the things that Abraham had to do again and again and again is he had to relinquish control. I think it takes the supernatural revelation of God to reveal when we have control issues. Because we are so wired to be in control. from the time we're little and wanting to be in control that it's so easily masked by other things that we don't even see it in our own lives. And we've got to be careful. So faith forward, and let me just wrap this up for us. So faith forward really takes this. It takes the release of control. Faith forward takes the release of control. If our faith is going to go forward, we have to release control to God. Abraham had to do it over and over and over and over, and God constantly put him in situations where he had to choose it. He had to choose it. God did not make it easy for him. And it's not because God didn't love him, and it's not because God did not want to fulfill his promises through Abraham, because he said in his word that he did. But yet Abraham had to walk it out. And you and I have to walk it out. As painful as it is, we have to walk it out. See, really, control issues are just a lie. They're just a lie that we believe. Because we begin to rationalize that, well, I need to be in control. I need to be in the control of the outcome of. I need to be in control of the answer to. And so it becomes this thing where we can say all of these things that we think it is, but the bottom line is, who's driving? See, sometimes we're fine with God being taking the shotgun. God, you can ride shotgun. But I want to drive. God says, no, I'm driving, you're riding shotgun. Or you're riding in the back seat. But I'm driving. I'm driving. And if you don't like it, guess what? I'm driving. I drive. That's what God says, I drive. And really, that's what it comes down to. I want you to just look at that acronym on the bottom of your outline. And I just want you to think about the word time. And I want you to think about control issues. Faith forward requires the release of control, which really takes time. All of this faith forward journey with God, It takes time for us to figure it out. God was not in a hurry with Abraham 25 years before Isaac was born. So it takes time. And so I want you to just think about what we've talked about tonight. I want you to just think about the acronym of time. And I want you to just think about the points that we made tonight. If I'm going to release control issues to God, then the T represents the word trust. Just write it in there. Trust. We talked about it. When the lug nuts begin to come loose, you got to tighten them up. What's that? That's trust. So if you're going to release control issues to God, you've got to trust God. If you're going to release control issues to God, the I is you've got to invest in your relationship with God. You got to just make investments, constantly making deposits. You got to be in the Word. 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 So then when you really need a withdrawal, it's there. The M. In the word time is meditate. We've got to be going back to what we already know. Going back to what we've already read and what we already know. And then the E is we've got to exercise our faith. We've got to step out. We've talked about all of these things. So instead of having to keep your notes and try to remember what I said tonight, all you got to do is remember the word time. All you got to do is remember one word, just the word time. If you want to release control to God, then you just have to remember one word. What's the word? What's the word? Okay, what's the T stand for? Got to trust God. What's the I stand for? Got to invest in your relationship with God. What's the M stand for? Got to meditate on the word. What's the E stand for? You got it. It's that easy. If you got control issues, it's going to take time. And there's no time like right now. So let's stand up.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.